Welcome to Vino, episode 76.
Welcome to Vino 101. I'm Bill.
Hey, everybody. It's Al. We're Bill and I, we're back after a tumultuous and a little bit of an abbreviation, I suppose. We've been busy, though.
Yeah.
Both of us. We've been on a path, kind of on the same path, I think, Bill. We've been doing the same thing. We've been kind of deeply invested in taking care of some older family members. And things are going well. And it's a learning process for both of us. So, you know, Bill and I met a few weeks ago. And we were just, you know, having a couple beers and talking about the whole, the journey.
Commiserating.
And it's quite the journey, right, Bill?
It is quite the journey. It's a, and 100% a learning curve in terms of, how fast, it's funny, you get old and how fast things happen. I have an elderly aunt who has memory loss, and she did a really good job for a number of years kind of masking it and not telling us about it. And it rapidly became acute, she thought she could take care of herself, but really, really can't. So it's been a process. And of course she didn't live local, so that's always fun.
Yeah, we both face that, you know, when the person that you're caring for is in a different zip code, or, you know, or in your case, a couple of states away, and in my case, multiple states away.
On the other side of the continent, it's a thing.
Definitely tough. So anyway, that's part of the reason for our absence, but we have definitely been enjoying the life here in Sonoma County. It's nice to be through the pandemic and back on the other side and to see places coming back to life. And the general vibe here in Sonoma County is a good one. It's healthy. People are rejuvenated. A lot of people are getting out. A lot of people obviously are traveling. And hopefully we can share some of the things that we've experienced over the past 4, 5, 6 months. And it's really a good time to come to Sonoma County right now.
It is.
This is aside from the very cold weather that we're having. It's pretty chilly, but
yeah. I was out this morning and with my youngest son. He's like, "It's cold out here," and I'm like, "Not really. It's chilly, yeah. But it's not like Montana or North Dakota or the Midwest. So it's, those folks would come and be balmy. I have a great personal anecdote here. We used to ski in Wyoming and I'd be all bundled up. This is, around the holidays, got the, full like balaclava on, mittens, everything. Mm-hmm. And I see these people going down the lift. They're in ski jackets. Some of them don't have hats on. A couple of them aren't wearing gloves. A couple of them in jeans. And I'm like, what in blue? Who are these people? They were Canadians. They're like, it's not that cold.
Yeah.
And I'm like, people are crazy.
It's all relative. I'm just, I'm such a die in the hard. I'm a Californian man.
I am too. I'm a heater.
I can definitely. Right now. Yeah, I can do the snow, but I'm not happy when I go out. My daily driver is parked outside, and I'm not happy when there's ice on the windshield.
No, that's not good.
But anyway, so let's get into some wine right away. I wanted to talk real quickly. When you go into the if you go into a wine store, if you go to like a Safeway here in a Safeway market, which is our big market, I guess the equivalent over on the East Coast would be like Publix. But you go into Safeway, or if you go into Costco, whenever you go in wine shopping, there's like, it looks like thousands of bottles of brands to pick from, and how do you know what wine to get? you know? And a lot of it is what draws you to the label is when you see the label, a lot of it is this, right? So it's like, oh, that's a pretty label. That's pretty kind of cool. What is that?
Let's get it.
A big part of the branding is like, because as a producer, you're trying to differentiate yourself from the other ones. And you got to get a label that's going to grab somebody's attention to make them at least look at the bottle. And then they're going to make a decision after that. What I like to do when I go into the wine shop is I don't even look at the front label. I flip it around and look at the back of the label. And the back of the label gives you the most important information. And I think we've kind of talked about this before, but one of the things that you'll see, and we're gonna talk specifically, I want to talk specifically about California wine. One of the things that you'll see prominently displayed on the back, besides the brand name and the vintage and all of that stuff, but one of the most important things you'll see is it'll say how the bottle was actually made. And on some bottles, it'll say bottled by. And bottled by means, basically it means the producers had almost nothing to do with making that wine. And the reason I bring this up is the other day I was driving back to Sonoma from Napa, and this truck carrying a whole bunch of barrels. It was just fully laden with like about 40 or 50 barrels on it. And, you know, I was like, oh man, I got behind this truck and I was like, ah, what a drag, you know? So anyway, we got to Sonoma and there was a split and I went one way and the truck went the other way. But unfortunately, I stopped to make a phone call for like about 5 minutes because the way that I was going was going to be faster. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as I got into Sonoma Valley, the truck turned in front of me again. I'm like, ah, oh, geez. So anyway, I'm behind this truck and I'm like, where is this truck going? I'm trying to think of where it's going because basically it's moving wine that was made in one spot to another spot, another winery. Cause it, I mean, it's traveled quite a ways. So eventually, I'm not going to see where it pulls in, but eventually it pulls into this winery. And I go, oh, okay, so that's where that wine's coming from. And then that's what made me think about the made and bottled by. So anyway, when it says bottled by, the producers got really very little involvement with making the wine. And usually it's wine that's purchased from like a third party, i.e. it's bulk wine. And that doesn't mean it's bad, doesn't mean it's good, doesn't mean anything. All it really means is that somebody went to a big facility somewhere or a small facility, wherever, and there was a vat of wine. They tasted that wine. They go, hey, that's pretty good. I think I'd like to buy that from you. And they bought it, and then that wine gets moved to wherever they want to bottle it. And usually, if it says bottled by, it can be, and I'm generalizing here, it can be an indication that it's a lower quality wine. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So now there's another term that comes up and you can see on the back of the label, and it's cellared by. And cellared by means that it could also be an indicator that the wine might be of lesser quality, but not necessarily. But typically it's from another source and it's actually aged and bottled on the premises where the label is. Okay. And then there's, I think I got another one here. I'll show you another one here. There's another term, and I know these are all confusing, but it's very interesting because it kind of tells you about, it is an indicator of the quality of the wine. And the other one, and this is a high quality wine here, Bill, but it says vented and bottled by. And this is a Chardonnay by a very prestigious winemaker, prestigious name. But it says vintage and bottled by. And basically what that means is the wine was already bottled and they probably bought this. They bought this wine, it was already bottled, and then they just slapped their label on it. Okay? So now we're going up a little bit. So you're familiar with this label, I believe.
Indeed.
Gluten-free. This is Old Vine Zinfandel from Lodi. But this is an indicator of probably the highest quality, because on the very back it says produced and bottled by. And if it's produced and bottled by, that means that the producer had to actually crush and ferment at least 75% of the wine that's actually in the bottle. And this is a really nice bottle of wine. You see this in the grocery store shelves all the time. It's an Obin Zinfandel. And I think it retails for like 12 or 13 bucks. But when you see that produced and bottled by, or you see grown, produced and bottled by, that's an indicator of a pretty high quality wine. So if you're in the store, you're in the grocery store and you're walking around and you see like this big, huge case stacker of a whole bunch of wines, if you flip all those bottles of wine around, most of them will say vented by, made and bottled by, stuff like that. And usually those wines will be $20 and under. And when you see grown, produced and bottled by, or if you see estate bottled is the highest. That means that the wine was actually 100% grown by the producer. It was made on the estate. It never left the estate. So they picked the grapes there. They crushed them. They made the wine and they bottled it all there. And you'll see that on like Jordan Winery. I'll just say Jordan Winery. They have full control of all of their plots and they take the grapes to the winery and you'll see on their bottles, it'll say estate bottled. So that's a real quickie. If you're, like I said, I'm kind of generalizing, but if it says made and bottled by, vented by, there's less control on the part of the people that actually made the brand. What do you think, Bill?
Was that too complicated? Oh, heck no. It's actually super useful. So you mentioned that if it's produced and bottled by, it only has to contain 75% of the grapes
from
the winery.
No, if it's bottled by, I think it's just, I believe it's, let me give you the actual, let me look on here real quick, because I'm going off the top of my head. If it says vented and bottled by, it's got to be, by law, 75% of the wine has to be made by whoever produced it. Yes.
Vented and bottled by. That's interesting, actually.
Yeah, so if it's produced and bottled by, it means that by law 75% or more of the wine in that bottle must be made by the producer. If the bottle says made and bottled by, it means at least 10% of the wine is made by the wine company.
Oh, wow.
So there's a big difference there.
Yeah. Is that California law or is that?
That's just California law. And that's why I said in the beginning, I just said I'm gonna say California, because every state has different laws, and obviously every country has different laws.
So. Yeah, because I have a bottle of Tempranillo here that's Spanish.
Yep.
And it says produced and bottled by, but I have no idea what that means in Spain.
Yes, it's off the top of my head, I don't either. I'd have to look it up and study up on it, but yeah, it's really different. So my whole point of this is that when you're in wine country and when you're in Sonoma, there's a really good chance if you're on a highway or if you're on a street that you're going to be behind this truck. That's it's like a, you know, this big 18 wheeler or whatever, and it'll have stainless steel tanks. And typically you would think, oh, maybe that's gas or maybe that's milk, but if it's a liquid, it could be wine, and it's just being moved from one winery to another. And, you know, it's like I said, it's all about the label. And, but what's in the bottle is, you know, that's a really good indicator of quality. If you flip it around and take a look. And also usually on the back label, they'll give you things like, for instance, this OZB Zen, it says gluten-free and vegan friendly, which is, you know, another way of saying this wine has, you know, really hasn't been mucked around with too much. You know, if it's gluten-free, that really, really changes the way that they can process, would be, I guess that'd be the word to use, process the product. Yeah. You know, there's going to be less manipulation going on. So, you know, a lot of people.
We'll have to do a cast that talks about the production techniques. I have noticed in Sebastopol, there are now two natural wine bars that exclusively have natural wine. I don't want to get into that today because I think that's a topic in and of itself, what's natural wine. There isn't, unlike other foods in America or beverages, you know, the labeling of what's in the bottle in the States is not as, there's not as much information as you might see, for example, in a package of processed food. You know, there's the ingredients and there's a nutrition label. There's none of that in a wine bottle. Yeah, there's some clues like produced by or cellared by in wine, but there's not a lot to the labeling. You know, other kind of like who produced it, who kind of made it, and maybe a clue on where the grapes actually came from. Now, in an estate, and to your point, an estate bottled wine, that means that that winery has the grapes on their property, as you pointed out, and they produce it right there and they bottle it right there.
If it says made by, or if it says cellared by or bottled by, basically it means that it was made somewhere else.
Yep.
And they just took it to a spot. And like I said, I really want to make this point. It's not really an indicator of the quality of the wine, but it also is, on the other hand, it is also an indicator of the quality of the wine.
It's a clue. Yeah. So what's the hot tip? If I walk into Safeway or Publix or one of the high-end groceries, am I looking for bottles that are produced by? Like, what's going to give me the best shot at getting a reasonably good quality wine by using that produced by, cellared by, estate bottled, etc.?
Your best clue is going to be, it's all tiers, you know, that's why they say top shelf. So if you walk down an aisle and you look where your shoes are, those are going to be probably your, I guess you would say your best value or your lesser quality wines would be at the lower level. You're going to run across it's going to be a pretty good mix at eye level. So you're going to have some produced and bottled by, and you'll have some made. And if you're looking at the end caps, basically all of those wines are going to be made and bottled by, cellared, bottled by, that type of thing. It just depends on what you want to spend. To get a wine that's here in Sonoma, that's going to have that designation of produced and bottled by, you're probably going to be expected to spend $25 and up.
Yeah. Is that considered super premium?
I would say so. Yeah.
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 I've also heard that those words used to describe wine around pricing. So there's super premium, 25 and up, premium, which I think is 15 and up.
Yes.
And I can't remember the other ones, but there's a fair amount of complexity, and this is why you have to go out and the real way to do this is as we often joke about, the hard work of being a wine enthusiast is you have to go out and try a lot of these things so that you can understand sort of, oh, I bought a $15 bottle of quote unquote premium wine. I really like you know, I like it a lot. And that's how you start to learn and calibrate. And you can find these bargains around just by, one, starting to pay attention to what's on the label as you're describing about, you know, whether, you know, how the wine was produced or who might have produced it. And then the price range. And then the other clue that you just said is, you know, don't forget things that are at the top of the stack are, they're going to be a little bit higher price, but they're probably going to be higher quality. It isn't necessarily always true, but it typically is.
Yeah. There's a reason it's called top shelf.
Yeah. 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 And then the other, you know, the other thing that I found is, you know, you walk into a supermarket. Well, let me say it a different way. Looking for producers that you might not have seen before. And if you see a producer you haven't seen before, most of us all have, in, you know, mobile phones with browsers. If you find a wine that's a small producer that's on that top shelf, that's probably going to be a quality wine. You know, small producers, they're probably going to be estate bottled or produced and bottled by, I would assume. I'm not 100% sure about that. But that'll, you know, small producers, they don't, you know, they aren't making a lot of wine. So they tend to pay attention more to the winemaking process. And that wine's probably going to be a little bit more pricey, but probably a lot more care made throughout the process of making the wine. So that's, it's all good stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And it doesn't, you know, I think a lot of people think, you know, when they think estate, they also think, oh, okay, well, I'm driving down this road and then, you know, there's a little offshoot road and it, you know, it goes up to this hill and there's this grandiose winery and, you know, that's the estate. It doesn't, you know, that's the aura of being in the wine, you know, in the romance right. of wine. But, you know, you could have an estate produced wine that could be made, you know, in a shed somewhere, you know, in an industrial complex. I mean, you could buy a $300 bottle of Cabernet that was made in some industrial complex, and it could be estate bottled because they have complete control of those grapes. They take it to that facility and they do everything there. They have high end winemaker. They have, and it's a quality product, but it doesn't have to be like on some big ranch somewhere. It could be in an industrial, you know, wine ghetto and made.
Yeah. And the larger brands that you see, that's typical, I would say, that you're going to find that it, you know, it may not necessarily be made where their tasting room might be, or their beautiful winery that you drive up to. And they're, you know, they're the usual suspects that you see that are well-known wine brands. And we also have to, you know, when you're buying wine, the other thing, certainly in the United States, there's a small number of companies that actually control, from a market standpoint, from an overall total market standpoint, like 80, 90% of the wine made in the United States.
It's shocking.
Yes. But that's, you know, that's so much of what, that's so much about our food and bev today. You know, there aren't a lot of brands that make soda pop. There's a couple.
Well, in the business I'm in the brands that we make, people would be surprised when they go into the store and they're looking at all the brands. And, you know, I know because I work with the company, but it's like, those brands were made at our factory.
That's right.
We just slapped another label on there.
It's a new label and they're priced differently. And yeah, but it's all the same. It's all coming from the same place.
Yeah. So,
anyway. And it's true in wine. We also have to say that doesn't mean the wine isn't of quality.
Yes.
That's not.
It's all about, like you said, Bill, you have to actually taste the product. And, you know, that's the rub. Like we see right now, we see all of these wines that come out, their NDA wines, non-disclosure agreements. And the reason those wines, I mean, I get we get the solicitations all the time from these different wine companies. And, you know, it's like this wine, it's got, it's Napa pedigreed. It's made by, you know, I can't tell you the winemaker, but this guy's worked at this place, that place, that place, you know, and you go, okay, well, that wine's got some pedigree, but they can't really tell you what it is. But then they'll say, you know, it's this Cabernet and it's from the Howell Mountain District. And, you know, it normally would sell for $130 a bottle. And, you know, it's only selling for $40 a bottle. And the reason why is that the bottles that they had for $140, they're not selling. So, you know, they gotta unload this stuff. So they're basically selling it at cost plus, you know, a little bit of, so it gives you an idea of what those bottles actually cost to make, right? If they're selling it at $40.
100%.
You know, add some margin in here, you know, that bottle probably costs like maybe $20 to make, right?
That's right.
But when the banker calls and says, hey, you know,
you're need to move this stuff. Your loan
what are you going to do,
due?
Bill?
Yeah, the price is going down. What I don't make up for in profit, I make up for in volume.
Yes, yes. So, you know, and unfortunately, the trend is, I mean, the trend is, you know, you read these beverage journals, the new group of the millennials and the Gen Zers, you know, they're not wed to the brands like the baby boomers are. The baby boomers have actually been driving the wine market for quite some time. And the wine market, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, was really facing some tough times. But what really helped out the wine market and what helped out businesses in general was when we had the pandemic. You know, you would think, oh yeah, the pandemic, it was awful. It was awful, but hey man, the government cranked up the printing press and just flooded the market with money for everybody. That's and right. It really helped the wine business. And now the wine business, and I mean, you've seen the downturn in beer. I mean, it's just, now that that money's drying up and they've turned the presses off, all of these companies are faced with the reality that they should have faced really 3 to 4 years ago. It's coming anew.
Yeah. And you know, food and bev margins are slim.
Yeah.
They're slim. And absolutely, it costs a lot. There's a lot of resource that goes into producing these things. And there's a couple of good follow-on topics here around the demographic that's coming on that's going to influence this market quite a bit, which is the millennials. There's a lot to talk about here for a later day, which is good. But we should probably talk about what have you been drinking?
Oh, geez. The little that I have been drinking. I've been drinking a lot of, I wasn't really prepared for that. Let me go grab some empty bottles. For a guy that hasn't been drinking very much, I sure do have a lot of empty bottles here.
I was going to say.
You know, maybe I could make a little money with the new California law where you can get, you know, you're supposed to get 10 cents back, I think, for each one of these bottles.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go.
All right. So let's see. Let's go from, you know, what's interesting? One thing I did notice, it's cold out, right? I've been drinking a lot of white wine lately. That's about. But I've been drinking a lot of white wine, but they've been kind of fuller bodied white wine. So they're kind of like, you know, they're reds. Are you familiar with this label?
No.
It's Oregon. It's A to Z Wine Works. And it's Pinot Gris, which is, you know, in Italian would be Pinot Grigio. And you notice on here, it says produced and bottled by. I won't go into the details. I think they just, I think this winery may have changed hands recently, but this is a 2022. It's a really, really good bottle of wine. Don't drink it cold. Drink it, you know, almost, you know, just a little bit under room temp, maybe like 60 degrees to really get the good flavors out of it. But if you haven't had a good Pinot Gris in a while, this is a bottle to try. It's kind of like, the top white wine in Oregon, and there's a reason why it has a lot of it's very heavy on the, not heavy, but it's light on the palate, but it has a lot of good density to it. And stone fruit, it's a really pretty ball of wine. It's super food friendly. So we've been having this with like tacos, and it's going really well with tacos. It's a 2022 A to Z Oregon Pinot Gris, and I think it clocks in, I think you can get it for like $15-16 a bottle. So it's also a very good buy. Had a few bottles of that. One of my favorites, it's been holiday season, so we've been drinking a lot of bubbly. I know you guys like bubbly.
I do.
So I know a little late on the telling people about this, but this is, I believe it's pronounced Berluki.
Huh.
And this is a rosé.
Valentine's coming up. There you go. Valentine's coming up.
Valentine's. There we go. Actually, this is a Valentine's label, huh?
Just saying.
Good call. It's Franciacorta. And what I always like about bubbly is that it's always light in alcohol. It's 12.5% alcohol. And, you know, you open this up and everyone's going to love this bottle. It's beautiful color. Great bubbles on it. I don't have the details on it. Maybe you could dig it up, but it tastes like it's primarily Pinot Noir.
Gotcha.
And fantastic bottles. Franciacorta Berluki 61. Franciacorta is a region up in northern Italy. And it's just not too far from the city of Milan. And they do a lot of high-end bubbly. It's patterned after champagne, but you know, it's really not champagne because obviously it's in Italy.
Yeah.
Great bottle of wine.
Yep.
What else have I been drinking? Okay, this is my guilty pleasure wine. Hansen Laura, Bernkasteler Graben Spätlese Riesling Mosel. I know that's a mouthful, huh, Bill?
It is. It is.
This is heck of fun. I'm going to have to get you one of these bottles. I don't know that your wife would like it, but because it's really fruity. It's a fruity Mosel Riesling. And man, it's more of a summertime type of thing, but it's really great with Thai food, man.
Yeah, I have a wine that's good with Thai food too that I will talk about.
Okay, good. Yeah, this is fantastic. It's readily available. You can get it for about, you know, it's about $20 a bottle. And it's, like I said, it's from the Mosel. And man, it's just, that's good stuff. Now, to give you one more that I've had, this is kind of hard to find. This is called, this is from Domaine Gassier. And it's called Nostre Pays Blanc. And it's, I guess that in French, that means our country white. Huh. And it's 53% Grenache, 22% Claret, 14% Viognier, and 11% Roussanne, which is my favorite grape these days. White grape is Roussanne. This is a killer bottle of wine, man. This is a 2019. It's super full-bodied. It's like drinking a really nice California Chardonnay on steroids. It's full bodied. Kind of has a waxiness to it. Peaches. It's just the thing is it's off the hook good. I bought a case of this wine. That's how much I bought a case of this. My wife loves it. And unfortunately it's gone up in price. It's about $23-24 a bottle, I think, but it's worth it. And it's from the appellation of Costière de Nîmes, which is in southern it's kind of I don't want to give anybody the wrong information. Let me see exactly where it is. It's a Rhone blend in the Rhone Valley area. And I'm not exactly sure where Costière de Nîmes is. I should look it up real quick, and don't want to misspeak here. Carry me, Bill.
Yeah. Well, I'll do that. I will edit that out. I will edit this out.
Okay, cool.
It's space out. It's totally fine.
I love editing. It's good.
Yeah. So takes a little bit longer in post, but it's no big deal. Look, I'm speaking like a producer now. Longer in post production.
Sorry, man.
No.
I'm just blowing it.
No, it's good. I need to teach Cooper to do our editing for us. He's interested.
I bet you he would love that.
Oh yeah, he'll love it.
Okay, let's see. Where the heck? This bottle is ridiculously good, though. I'll tell you that, man. It's freaking crazy. Let's see here. Let's do this. See if I can get this thing right here out of here. Here we go. Come on. Here we go.
So I just got a weather alert. I'll cut this out. I just got a weather alert. It says snow stopping soon in Sebastopol.
What?
It's got to be confused with like somewhere else in the world. Yeah.
Sebastopol, Russia, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. That's hilarious.
Okay, there we go. What is, okay. I'm going to the Book of Knowledge. Costière de Nîmes is an appellation, an AOC, for wines that are produced in an area between the ancient city of Nîmes and the Western Rhone Delta in the French department of the Gard. So it's formerly part of the Languedoc region of France, as the wines more resemble those of the Rhone Valley in character than of the Languedoc. So let me see on a map here. Give me a picture. I like pictures, man. Okay, yeah, it's on the right bank of the Rhone. So I'm all about the pictures, Bill.
Oh, heck yeah.
Not gonna give me a picture, huh? All right, well, it's not going to give me a geographical picture, or it would, but I can't dig it up or find it. I'd have to dig a little bit more. So that's what I've been drinking. That's just some of the bottles we've been drinking, but definitely have been consuming less alcohol lately. And we've talked about this before, but I do notice when I consume on nights that I don't consume alcohol, I definitely sleep better. I don't know about you, but man,
100%. To talk about that for a little bit, we started before we in our as we were getting ready for the show this morning, we were talking about, you know, just cutting back on winding down on the alcohol, at least being a little bit more deliberate, and certainly noticed that. One of the things that my wife and I have been doing is drinking. We're going to have a cocktail with vodka as opposed to some other spirit or beer and wine. Vodka is supposedly the easiest for your body to process. And I do notice on the nights where I, you know, have that spirit, it isn't as impactful as if I'm having beer or wine.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting. But yeah, 100% definitely do notice that, you know, I'm getting older. And you know, it affects your body more and more. And of course, you know, if you talk to physicians, they're like, you shouldn't be drinking at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically killing us. And it's like, well, I'm willing to trade a little bit of my life for some quality of life. That's okay with me. You know, I do enjoy, you know, spirits, beer and wine. And, you know, the real key is to just not overindulge. It's easier said than done sometimes, but, you know, there you go.
Yeah, I'm taking the Winston Churchill view also, you know, a little dab will do you. So
That's right.
One of the nice things about consuming less is, I mean, typically, well, I used to do this anyway, like for a full bottle of wine, I decant it and we would consume half of the bottle. Well, I mean, we've been drinking so little lately that now I decant it and we just consume like a third of the bottle. So it's really like just like, you know, kind of not even like a glass. And
right.
I really have been not having any wine really during the week. Because I've been upping up, I've been going through this crazy exercise thing.
Yeah, there you go.
I must confess, I do find that I'm much sharper and more well-rested without alcohol in my system. So
100%.
But I'm like you, I take the, you know, I mean, if it's the weekend, you know, I'm going to.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. If I'm, you know, I'm out mowing lawns or sawing branches off of trees or, you know, digging stuff around the property. Yeah, I'm fine having a couple glasses of wine.
Here's what you need to have after that, after you've broken your sweat out there on the property. And what's nice about this wine, Bill, is it's only 9% alcohol.
Oh, that's so good. It's so good.
It's kind of like, well, it's pretty light in alcohol, so, you know, you're good.
Yeah.
So well, stay away from those Argentinian Malbecs, probably.
Oh yeah. Well, and then the sulfides. We can talk about that at some time. But I got a couple of things, folks, be interested in. I'll start with beer. So Russian River Brewing is making. It's a presidential year. They're famous Pliny. They make Pliny for President, which is a triple dry hopped IPA, 7%. Dry hop means that post the fermentation process or after they basically get done, they add hops, dry hops into the ferment to add or enhance various characters of the brew. If you have a Whole Foods around you, you might be able to find it. I've noticed that Whole Foods is carrying Russian River beer. The other interesting thing Russian River is doing is some of their beers, they're now canning in 12-ounce six-packs, 12-ounce can and six-packs versus the pint four-pack pint cans. Their beers are exceptionally well-made, and this is a really awesome IPA. It's got a lot of stone fruit in it, tropical citrus, pine, and resinous character in it. I highly recommend it. I had one last night. My son goes to music lessons near their tasting room in downtown Santa Rosa, so that was great. You can look for it. The other interesting things folks might care about is Pliny is actually not pronounced Pliny. It's pronounced Pliny. I think even if you go into the brewery and you ask for a Pliny, they'll laugh at you.
Oh, I did not know that. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So it's Pliny. The other thing that's coming up with Russian River, and I'll talk about when it comes out, is their annual Pliny the Younger is coming, which is a triple hopped IPA that is pretty hot in terms of alcohol, but you would never know it drinking the beer. The next wine.
Let me break in here one sec. So I'm looking at the beer. I love that label. That's amazing. The guy that the brewmaster Vinny says he worked on developing that new recipe for like all of 2023.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, it's a new
candle. That's beautiful, man. That's a collector's item.
It's a new. They have produced it in years prior. This current version is he worked on it through 23. Vinny, and so he's just a master at brewing. So
great recommendation, man. I'm going to be looking for that. It's on my list. We're going out today. We're rolling out.
And I love the top of the can. It says "Free the hops."
Yes,
it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, right, well, the red, white, and blue with the silver, you know, I mean, you know, it's about as American as you can get, right?
Yeah, and I'm voting for Pliny this year. That's my vote for president. We'd all be better off. The next recommendation I have is a white blend from Mendocino County produced by Hobo Wines Folk Machine. It's called White Light, and it's a 22 blend that's 42% Tokaj Frulliano from Mendocino, 18% Riesling from Arroyo Seco, 17% Verdejo from Suisun Valley, and 15% Albarino from Borden Ranch, and 8% Sauvignon Blanc from Potter Valley. I had this at a restaurant here in Sebastopol. It has a Michelin Bib Gourmand called Kum Loy. It's a Thai restaurant. Wow. They did a fantastic job putting that wine on their menu. It pairs perfectly with their food, but it's a super easy drinking, light, light white. It's definitely summery, but you know, if you're going to have that spicy food with a lot of aromatics and spices in it, I think it'll pair well. And it's got some, it has some acid and briny character. And it's one of those wines, because of the way it's made, it almost seems like it's a sparkler. It's got that, you know, it's not, it isn't, but it's just because of the acid, the malolactic acid in it. And when it hits your tongue, it has that characteristic. You can find it online, $15, $16 a bottle. And then my last recommendation is a Tempranillo from Marquez de Villanueva. And I think it's produced by Grandes Vinos y Vendeos in Carneja, Spain. You can find this on wine. It's kind of, I'm pretty sure it's a big production, but it's got really, it's very medium bodied. It's super well balanced. It's got cinnamon, kind of cloves, spicy aftertaste, and really nice acidity and a little bit of sweet notes. You would think when I got this bottle, I bought it because I was looking for a Tempranillo, and I can't remember what we were eating with it. It might have been some paella or something. We were eating with it, and I was like, nah, 2009, but I'm like, for $9, $10, what the heck? It was dynamite for that price point. And so that's that bottle of wine.
Villanueva.
Yeah. And so we'll put all this stuff in the show notes, and I'll link to it. I think wine.com, you might be able to find it, but, this wine is a wine you might be able to find at a supermarket somewhere.
Gotcha.
You can't beat it for the price point. If you're going to have food that's from that, you know, from Spain, or, you know, a steak with chimichurri sauce, this thing's probably going to go dynamite. It's got a little oak, but you can just, it's like they kiss the wine with oak. It's great. I really like it. And I'm a Tempranillo fan anyway, so that, you know, they can tend to be very not as well balanced as this wine. And you can get a bottle of Tempranillo and you're like, I don't like that at all. But this one is a good, if you want to taste a good Tempranillo, that's a good Tempranillo. And that's what I got for now.
That's pretty cool. I have a Tempranillo that we've been drinking a lot of. I don't have it in front of me. But you know, it's that super over the top, big oaky, you know, chocolate, all that, you know, it's a made wine instead of a made wine, if that makes a difference, but yeah. It is fun. And
yeah.
We've been, I have to bring that out next time. And, maybe I could get a bottle of that to you. Cause Tempranillo is kind of interesting. You never really know what you're going to get.
That's so true.
You got to, it's like we always say, you got to open them up and taste them, Bill.
That's right. I'm talking about the white light. If you find that somewhere, what I describe the composition of that white light is for the 22 vintage. They use you can find other vintages of that wine. However, the composition of the wine will be different.
So it changes every vintage.
It changes every vintage. I really like hobo wines kind of across the board. If I find a hobo wine, I'll pick it up. They tend to be, the price points tend to be really, really good, really reasonable. And they always seem to be really well produced. And they do things like these kind of different blends. Instead of single variety wine, you'll find these sort of blended varietal wines that they always drink well and are super interesting and fun.
Yeah, and it's not even that it's blended different varietals, but it's different varietals from friggin' all over the state, man, when you were to all these different regions. So it took some work to actually put that together.
For sure. And I cannot pronounce it's I won't even try to pronounce Kenny's name, but okay. He is the I'll put his name in the show notes, but he's an interesting person. He created Folk Machine as a home for his Pinot Noirs. And so he's got some really interesting wines that he produces through Hobo.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
We need to wrap it up, as they say.
For sure. So you can find us at vino101.net. You can find Al on the Twitters at Twitter at X now, not Twitter anymore, x.com/vino101net. We also have an Instagram page, which we haven't really populated, but we're going to try to start that this year. That's vino101. And tell a friend if you like what you hear here. If you've got some comments for us or something you want us to cover, we're in the heart of wine country in Northern California and happy to go do some exploration for you. And cheers.
Cheers, everybody. Thank you.